Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Jazz and the Washington Wizards. The spread here in this game is Utah minus 10.5. The total here is 235. I really like the Wizards here. I'm guessing you do as well.
Yeah, this is the opponent split situation of the night. Anybody who's followed the show knows, when do we play on the Wizards? When they play the elite opposition against the top 8 teams in the league this year. Washington is 11-3 against the spread. The situation here, I think, is unbelievable for Washington. Moneyline, like, also not the worst bet in the entire world.
Mitchell will go to the hoop, convert 1.2. And that will do it. The Wizards snap the Jazz 24-game home winning streak. Great. They win for the first time in Utah since 2015, and they sweep the season series.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Well, when it's all said and done and the Wizards don't make the playoffs or the play-in tournament, at least they'll have swept the season series with the Jazz. At least there's that.
And, like, beaten the Lakers and kept it close with the Nets twice. It's like, incredible that that team is never going to turn into something. It's really wild.
By the way, they're, like, I need to actually look at the standings. I think they're, like, 2 games back of the 10th seed in the East.
I think that's true. The problem is that, you know what the problem is? They don't get to play Utah every night. That's the problem.
Or like, they don't get to play the best teams in the league every night. You got to play some stinkers in there, and they generally lose those games. That was NBC Sports Washington on the highlights. So that was a winner for us last night. We'd like some winners for tonight. And joining us now to give us the best information in the business as it concerns the National Basketball Association, Odyssey Sports NBA Insider, the host of Odyssey's NBA show, former NBA general manager, the great Ryan McDonough on Twitter at McD. NBA. McD, welcome back to You Better You Bet with Nick and Ken here on a Tuesday. How are we feeling, my friend?
Hey, gentlemen, I'm doing great. It's always good to be on with you guys, but listening to that segment from yesterday's show, I'm not sure that you need me. You seem to have it all figured out. I don't know how many people called the Washington Wizards win last night, but but you two did. So if you want me to sit here in silence for the next 15 minutes, I'm happy to do that.
No, well, first of all, we have 4 hours, or 3 hours and 45 minutes to talk about it.
Silence. No.
We need you for this 15 minutes, buddy. We've been going for an hour already. We'll do the Jamal Murray injury in a second, but you were talking about Washington. I actually remembered when you were given that answer that you've come on and you're not the only one who did this. We've had other guests. Nick and I have talked about the Wizards before. Like, are they turning a corner? Are they turning into something? We had this conversation with them 5 times earlier in the season. Why has this never happened? I mean, the team just beat Utah last night at home, team that hasn't lost in forever. I mean, like, what do you make of the struggles for the Wizards? Why they haven't been able to kind of get there? There's still a little bit of time left. Do you think they have a chance to make the play-in tournament?
You know, I've said all year long, and even in the preseason, I thought the Wizards were a play-in team, 7-10 in the Eastern Conference kind of team, and they've disappointed. But to answer your question, yes, I do think they have a chance because, honestly, that 10th seed in particular is up for grabs. I mean, Chicago is currently in 10th. They're just 22-31. Toronto doesn't really seem like they want the 10th seed. They're 21-33 and made the moves at the deadline. You know, with a couple guys going out, including Norman Powell, to a lesser extent, Terrence Davis, you know, seemed like they were planning for the future. So it really is there for the taking. But the one thing we've learned to count on is not to rely on the Washington Wizards to be consistent. And I think that'll be the case with them throughout the year, guys. They, as you mentioned, they play up to the level of good teams, and they also have some really, really bad losses, which, you know, it's been a pattern for Washington, at least in the recent past.
You know, the recent pass for the Denver Nuggets, unfortunately, includes the ACL tear suffered last night by Jamal Murray. Just a bummer for so many different reasons here. And probably we would say like kind of like destroys Denver's NBA championship hopes, or maybe Ryan, maybe not. So kind of like lay out here kind of what you think this does for the Denver Nuggets in the short term, long term, as we get to the postseason here, and how it impacts the team with Jokic and company.
Yeah, brutal week for the Denver Nuggets, who were really rolling, guys. They hadn't lost, as you know, heading into Sunday's game against the Boston Celtics with Aaron Gordon in the lineup. They had a late meltdown against Boston. I think the Celtics outscored the Nuggets 40-8 to end that game and win it going away in Denver. And then, you know, the very next game in Golden State, the injury to Murray happens. And keep in mind, Murray had been out for a while. It was at the other knee that he was having some problems with, but it was his first game back to the lineup. I went back and checked the lineup card yesterday. He was questionable throughout the day yesterday heading into last night's game. So, you know, I wonder if there is some second guessing in Denver as far as whether he should have played or not. I'm obviously just speculating there, but the injury is brutal. And really, guys, it stinks doubly for the Nuggets, because not only does it take away their championship chances this year, in my opinion, anytime you lose your second best player, obviously Jokic is number one and will probably be the league MVP, but Jamal Murray's clearly the second best player on that team. It impacts not only this year's rest of the regular season and in the playoffs, but it also impacts next season as well. Given that, you know, we're already into mid-April, the NBA looks like they're going to try to get back on schedule as far as the regular calendar next year. So Denver's young and they're talented, and they have a lot of their best players under contract for a while. But this really stinks for Denver. It hurts them not only this year, but into next season as well.
Ryan, is there a team among Denver's likely first-round opponents? So figure, you know, with Murray being hurt, maybe they stay in the four, but they probably in all likelihood drop to the five, maybe drop a little lower than that. So of Lakers, Clippers, Phoenix, Utah, even in one series, even in the first series of the playoffs, let's assume they're out of the play-in tournament for now, but in the first round of the playoffs without Murray, is there one of those teams, Utah, Phoenix, Clippers, Lakers in a seven gamer they could at least give a series to, or maybe advance pass? Is there one team that they should kind of be hoping for here?
Well, I think Jokic is good enough, and with their depth and with Aaron Gordon now, I think they can compete with anybody, but I don't think they can beat any of the top four teams in the Western Conference without Jamal Murray, because, guys, I thought there were five elite teams. Five teams have separated themselves from the pack. I know what the standings say, that Portland and Dallas aren't too far back, but I thought there was a pretty significant gap when you look at some of the holes those two teams, the Trailblazers, have on the defensive end of the floor in particular, and Dallas has had up, you know, throughout the year with their up and down play, and Porzingis and others in and out of the lineup. So I thought there were five elite teams, and you hit the nail on the head, Ken. That 4-5 matchup was going to be brutal, whoever was in it in the Western Conference. Now I think there are four clear favorites in the first round: Utah, Phoenix, and the two teams from LA, the Lakers and Clippers.
You bet. BetQL Audio Network. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley on a Tuesday talking NBA with the great Ryan McDonough of Odyssey's NBA show at McDNBA on Twitter. McD, you mentioned the Dallas Mavericks there, and I think it's interesting, right? You know, they lose again last night. Luka and Mark Cuban both complaining about the play-in tournament. It looks like Dallas is going to be in the play-in tournament, maybe as the seventh seed here. What do you make of that? The complaining being done right now by the Mavericks, not just the players, but the owner, about the play-in tournament here, and anything to glean from these recent complaints from the Mavericks?
Well, it's interesting, guys. I'll take you back to last year, because if you remember last year when the league paused and then headed down to Orlando a few months later for the bubble that started in late July, the league was thinking about doing a play-in tournament there. I think a bigger play-in tournament. But the reason they didn't, in my opinion, was because the Dallas Mavericks, as the seventh seed in the Western Conference, were so far ahead of the pack. It wouldn't have been fair to Dallas. They had clearly separated themselves. And to some extent, guys, you know, that's happened again this year. I guess Memphis has played better lately. They're only a game and a half back of Dallas. But I think those are two different things. I mean, last year it was a unique circumstance. It was done on the fly. This year, every single team in the 30-team league knew in advance what the rules were. They could prepare for that. They could plan for that. Other teams have been more disadvantaged by the schedule than the Dallas Mavericks have. When you look at how many games the two teams directly behind them in the Western Conference, Memphis and San Antonio in particular, have had to make up with cancellations due to COVID and other reasons. So, I think it's a little bit self-serving for Luka Doncic and Mark Cuban to complain now that we're, you know, with about a month left in the season, to complain about it now that the team is in seventh and there's, you know, a two-game gap from them to sixth. Everybody knew the rules before the season, and for me, there are no excuses. If Dallas finds themselves in the Western Conference play-in tournament, then that's where they should be, because they had 72 games to try to get in the top six.
So, Ryan, we've gone over two Western Conference teams already. Obviously, Denver, who gets worse. They lose one of their best players. Dallas, who's playing worse and now complaining about the play-in tournament. So as a result of these teams dipping, somebody has to benefit from this situation, right? And in the first hour of the show, we're just, you know, we just couldn't believe, like, the Lakers couldn't have asked for, like, a better setup now. Basically, maybe they hold on to the five seed. Maybe they get Denver in the first round. I mean, all the kind of the pieces are aligning here, but I think it obviously comes down to the health of the two stars and when they're going to return. What are you kind of hearing about a reasonable timetable for Anthony Davis and LeBron James to come back? And what do you make of kind of the, you know, the beneficial nature of the news the Lakers have gotten recently?
Yeah, a couple things there with the Lakers. I think, you know, AD will be back in the lineup relatively soon in the next week or so from what I'm hearing. LeBron, I think in the next couple weeks. So they're getting, you know, the cavalry back at the right time. And I give the team a lot of credit, guys. I've been critical of the Lakers supporting cast and the rotation players. As you guys know, they were my preseason pick to win the championship, and nothing has really changed. As long as LeBron James and Anthony Davis are healthy heading into the playoffs, I think they are certainly the Western Conference favorite. And then if they play the loaded Nets team in the finals, that would be a heck of a battle. But I bring it up because over the last month or so, without LeBron and AD, I thought the team may crater. And they've really held the line, guys. They've been about 500, just a little below 500 in that stretch. They had the big win at Brooklyn in the, you know, somewhat controversial marquee game on Saturday night. Obviously, LeBron, AD, Harden didn't play in that one, so it didn't look anything like the finals will look. But I give the Lakers role players a lot of credit. And, to kind of tie the earlier conversation we're having into this one, I think as long as they're in four or five and Denver's the other team, they're in good shape in the first round. And as good as I thought the first round was going to be in the Western Conference, guys, and it still may be, now I'm looking ahead to the second round because, again, I have those two teams from L.A., Utah and Phoenix, a notch above the pack. And the Lakers' rotation players, their role players, deserve a lot of credit if L.A. is in that position because they've done enough to hold down the fort without LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Who's going to win the Eastern Conference?
Brooklyn. Would you like me to elaborate on that, Nick?
Or we do have 4 minutes left in the segment, so yes, please.
Yeah, ask a direct question, you get a direct answer, at least for me. Brooklyn, as you guys know, that was, you know, my preseason Eastern Conference favorite, and with the addition of James Harden, who I think, had he not missed a decent amount of time with injury, and then, if the perception of him wasn't a little bit tainted as far as the MVP voting goes, I think he'd be, you know, strongly in the mix, maybe up there with Jokic to win the MVP. That's how good he's been and how good the team has been since he arrived in Brooklyn. I just think they're the most talented team, guys. I mean, when you get in the playoffs, high-end talent wins. As you guys know, in the regular season, you can win with, you know, consistency. You can win with effort. In the playoffs, everybody plays hard, and you're playing the other elite teams, especially as you go up the pyramid and teams get eliminated. You get closer to the conference finals and NBA finals. So I think Brooklyn's the most talented team. We haven't seen Kyrie, Harden, and Kevin Durant together that much, which, is scary for the other teams because the Nets will always have two and maybe three elite players on the court at all times, and they'll be able to overcome injuries or foul trouble or anything like that. So I think Philly will push them a little bit. As you guys know, I'm not quite as high on Milwaukee, but I think it's, two teams I've picked in the preseason, the Brooklyn Nets and LA Lakers, playing for the championship.
Ryan, you mentioned MVP briefly, and you mentioned with Jokic when we talked about the Murray injury for Denver as well. Do you think this is kind of a done deal for Jokic? He's minus 225, obviously, like, sort of a heavy price compared to, he was basically about even money for about a month there with, you know, LeBron still in the mix, Embiid still in the mix, Luka and Lillard, and we talked about a lot of different options. Now, a pretty heavy favorite to win the MVP award, Joel Embiid plus 350. Are there enough games left where if Jokic plays all of them, and let's say Embiid plays most of them, is there any chance that Embiid can catch Jokic and win the MVP award?
Well, I think it is possible. I think a few things would need to happen, Ken. As you know, Embiid was my midseason MVP when we talked about this around the All-Star break. I thought he deserved the award, and then he got hurt and is missed.
Man, you just got winners everywhere time. Just based on different lines of demarcation, man. The midseason MVP, the preseason pick here. I mean, we got some great cherry picking going on here. For you,
he was my March player of the month.
The preseason pick when I had zero games and James Harden played for the Houston Rockets and I picked the Brooklyn Nets and LA Lakers in the finals. I am cherry picking. You're right. In all sincerity, I think Nikola Jokic, the argument for him, guys, are, obviously his outstanding play, the incredible individual numbers, averaging 26, 11, and 9, and just being the offensive hub of that team. But also, there's really nothing to penalize him for. And I bring that up because when you look at Embiid, when you look at LeBron, you say, well, those guys didn't play enough. When we look at Harden, who's also now missed time, and then he forced the trade from Houston. Jokic is somewhat bulletproof in that regard. He's played in every single game. The Nuggets have played in 54 games. He's played in all of them. He's been good in pretty much every one of them. He's consistent. He's a fun guy to watch play. His teammates like playing with him. He leads their team in just about every single significant statistical category. And then when he's off the court, the team really struggles. So I think Jokic is still the front runner, guys. But however, I do think the door is open now a crack. You guys know how much I've liked Damian Lillard. If Portland can defend at just a decent level and the Blazers go past the Nuggets in the standings, that's only 2.5 game separation right now between those two teams. I think Lillard, again, is still a decent bet with the longer odds, given, that the race may be slightly open now with the injury to Jamal Murray.
McD, we've got about a minute to go here, and you opened the segment by saying maybe we don't need you here on the show, right? Because they played the highlight coming back of us liking the Washington Wizards last night. But here's the truth. I feel like your winning percentage on the show is like through the roof when you come on and give us a pick of the night. So this is what we're really looking forward to here. In like 20 seconds, if you'd be so kind, McD, what do you like tonight in the association? What is the Ryan McDonough pick of the night?
My pick of the night, and this will be maybe a little bit controversial, it's a little bit risky, is the Utah Jazz. I know they're giving up 16.5 or somewhere in that range against OKC. OKC has had some historic defeats lately. Utah is pissed off. They lost to Washington, as we discussed. So I think Utah might win by 30 or 40 tonight. That's my pick of the night.
Listen to Ryan on Odyssey's NBA show. Find it wherever you find your podcast. Hit him up on Twitter at McDNBA, the best in the business. Ryan, we appreciate it. Enjoy the games tonight. We will catch up with him soon here on You Better You Bet. James Mazzola coming up in about 15 minutes talking golf. But up next, laughs, wagertainment here on the BetQL Audio Network.
From pro basketball to Nikki football, soccer bets, and so much more, we've got you covered. It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.